Merry Christmas, everyone. I can say that. I can say that because just because Christmas is over doesn't mean it's over, because it isn't. After our Lord and Savior is born, now our journey just begins for eternal life. Now, last time, we saw visitors to Bethlehem. And Joseph and Mary went to Bethlehem. And then the next person to show up was the Son of God. He showed up in the form of the little Christ child. And then we saw shepherds come. Most important event in our life is coming to Christ. Because once you visit the Savior, you're never the same. Again. Ever. So as we celebrate the birth of our Savior, I see three aspects of this event. We have the announcement, and we saw that a few weeks ago. We have the birth, and we saw that last week. And we have the coming to the King. Now, as we're going to see in our scripture today, it does us, or mankind, or womankind, no good whatsoever to experience the first two and then ignore the third. To hear the announcement, to know about the birth, and then stop there is a shame. He came to earth, has been born as our Savior, and now he is waiting for you and for me to come. So if you brought your Bible with you, I'm going to go back into Luke for just a little bit here. It's somewhat repetitious from something I said last week, but that's all right. Let's go to chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. And I'm going to begin reading down around verse 15. Where it says, "And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord had made known to us. And they came with haste, found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger." Interesting. The shepherds went at once, it says, to see what the Lord had shown them. They didn't wait till morning. They didn't wait a couple of days. They went immediately. So I went back into the original Greek, and the original Greek says, "And they came hurrying and sought out both Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger." So they were on a mission of grave importance, because it says they came with haste. And haste in Greek means urgently. It was very important to them. More important than tending their sheep, which was their job. They didn't stroll, meander over to Bethlehem. They moved at a fast pace. We got to get there right now. As fast as we can get there, we're going. And to find or to search means an aggressive action. They looked heartily for him. I bet they looked in every single manger that was in the whole area looking for where the baby was, and they found probably a lot that had nothing in them but straw and animals eating out of it. It's kind of the searching that a bounty hunter does when he's closing in on the guy he's hunting. He gets eager and faster till he finds him and then cuffs him. So the question that all this brings to us is, what has the Lord made known to you? And have you purposed in your heart to go at once? Not tomorrow. Not next week. Are you on your way to Bethlehem right now? Or are you putting it off? You see, we have to go to him if we wish to find him. Proverbs 8, verse 17, says, those who seek me early will find me. All right, early. Early what? Early morning? Early afternoon? Early in life? Yes, yes, yes. It means all that. Because Christ himself, when he was on the earth, he says, come to me, everybody who labors and is heavily laden, and I'm going to give you rest. I want rest, so I'm going to go to him early. Well, I'm old, so I'm going to say early in the morning I go to him. We can't sit back in our easy chair and wait for Christ to come to us. He already told us, come to me, he says. We got to be like those shepherds. We have to drop what we're doing. We have to get up. We have to go. And we have to look. We have to seek him out, it says. How do we seek him out? The scriptures. He's right there in the word. I don't think there's anybody today who has not heard about the birth of Christ. There's a lot that don't believe, but they've heard it. Now, the next step is to come to him. Accept him as Lord. Bow down and worship him. Now, we're going to see a lot of people knew about his birth back then, and they would not come to Christ. Back up a little bit to Matthew. Matthew 2, it says, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. And they said this, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east, and we come to worship him. Wow. Jesus, the Savior of the world, came not just to be glory to Israel, but to be a light to the Gentiles. And now we see the first fruits of the whole Gentile nation coming from a long journey to seek out this infant Savior. These wise men would be the leaders of a long procession of Gentiles who, called by grace, seek the Lord. Countless millions have followed him. And not just from the east, but they came from the west, the north, the south. They come from everywhere to find Jesus and to worship him. These wise men were Gentiles. They were not believers. Maybe they came from Babylon. Maybe they came from Arabia. I don't know. History calls Arabians men of the East. But what we see here is a picture type of the future 2,000 years ago. The shepherds came to Christ, picture type of the Jews. And then the wise men came, picture type of the Gentiles, that were later grafted in, like us. Now, there's a lot of misconceptions about these wise men. They were not kings. We sing, "We three kings." They weren't kings. They were astronomers. They studied the stars. They interpreted dreams. That was their main functions. Interpretation of dreams. It does not say in Scripture there were three. Nowhere. There could have been 10. Could have been 100. I don't know. They didn't come to the manger and see Christ in the feeding trough. They came several months later, maybe 2 years even. If you read Matthew 2, verse 11, it says they came into the house and saw the young child. Young child in Greek means 1 to 2 year old person. He's a young boy. But they were guided by this phenomenon of this star. And they came to the area expecting to find their answers in the capital city of Jerusalem. They figured everybody there would be worshiping them. And so that's where they went to ask, "Where is the King of the Jews that we saw his star?" We could call them magi, Oriental scientists might be a more accurate word. They were educated. They were instructed in all the wisdom of the East, especially astronomy. Seekers after God. And their star they found pointed the way to the Savior. Something else about them. They didn't come to Christ to get anything. He was only a young boy, a toddler at best. So they weren't coming for what he had done for them. He hadn't done anything yet. They came to worship him solely because of who he is. And that understanding of who Jesus is should be motivation enough for us to worship him. I think we sang, "For truly thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power." And they were rich. They weren't poor. And so being rich, they brought rich gifts. Gold, frankincense, myrrh. Rich people have to come to Christ just like poor people. Just like ordinary people. There's no priority in Christ. Everybody has to come to him. And they brought their free will offerings willingly. I'm reminded of Jacob's pledge when he was in Bethel. And he says, "Of all that thou shalt give me, I will give thee the tenth back unto thee." And they came from a long journey, which means our journey is long. It's not an easy trip. It's a long road. There's danger along the way. There's pitfalls. But they believed that heavenly sign that they saw in the sky. And they sought and found the Savior. And we must seek Christ with the same faith. That no matter what the pitfalls are in front of us, that Christ will lead us around them or through them. If He has called us, we have to obey His calling. And the way to eternal life always seems long, but it's always straight, narrow, sometimes steep, and we need perseverance, self-denial. As Paul puts it, forget about those things in the past. Press onward to the things that are before. And so they ask the question, where is he that is born King of the Jews? They didn't have the scriptures that we have. They were Gentiles. But they had the star. They had the voice of God speaking in their heart. And they got up, and they went, and they found the King. And we will find the King if we seek Him earnestly. He called the wise men. He calls us. He used a star for them. He uses His word for us. He draws us to Himself by the power of His love. Yet we have to seek for Him. Offer them our gift of our heart. Being our King, we owe Him our allegiance. And we must find Him, because He is our life. And to know Him is eternal life. And seeking means we must keep seeking Him until we find Him. We can't stop, no matter the cost. The candle of the Lord is burning within us. And it tells us of sin, of judgment, of salvation, and it burns bright and hot in that heart of ours to lead us to Him where we will find rest. Why did they come? They came to worship Him. Submission of their whole being to them. And we have to learn to worship while we're here on earth. This is the training ground for the heavenly life. Worship isn't just prayer. It includes prayer, but it's more than that. Worship is unselfishness. We have to approach God to seek His presence, to seek His face, because He's great, because He's holy, because He's gracious. He Himself is our reward. And that should be enough. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and Jerusalem with him. And when they gathered all the chief priests and the scribes together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And verse 5 says they told them. It didn't say they went back to search. It says they told them in Bethlehem of Judea. For it's written by the prophet. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. Out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. So they knew right away where he was. And Herod says, he calls the wise men, he asks them, when did you see the star? And he sends them to Bethlehem and says, go and search for the young child. And when you find him, bring back word to me so I can come. This announcement of a king's birth was not good news for King Herod. He was afraid he would lose his crown. He had no intention of going there himself to worship. His scribes and priests knew about the birth of Christ, and they all could have been there. The same is true today. So many people put off going to see Christ. They say, when my career is finished, when I'm old, once my family's gone and I have more time, maybe when I retire, I'll start worshiping God. They knew from the scriptures, and they would not go to where Christ was born. They told the king where he would be born, but they wouldn't go themselves. Pretty strange that these wise men went all by themselves. Not one person from Jerusalem went with them. Nobody. Being a follower of Christ is not a sad and morbid life. We should be glad of everything that shows us the way to Jesus. When you come to the presence of the King, whether it be on Sunday or Saturday or whatever day you choose to worship, do you rejoice in your heart like these wise men? Are you exceedingly joyful during your trip to worship? Or do you resent it because you want to go play golf? The Savior of the world, our Lord Jesus Christ, was to be found in Bethlehem, in seclusion, in poverty. And these Gentile magi, rich, famous, maybe proud people, with a simple faith, searched out and humbled themselves until they found him. When they came in the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother. And they fell down and worshipped him. And they opened their treasures and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. It wasn't exactly the setting that they had expected. There were no guards of royalty protecting the baby king. A small cottage. It, very different from the palace they had just left with King Herod. And yet their faith was not shaken. They recognized the child as the King Messiah. And they paid him the worship that they came to do, fell down and worshiped him. Not his mother, not his father, him. Worship was the end of their long journey. It was the object of their journey in the first place. It's the object of our journey. It's the end of our journey. When we come to Christ and fall down and worship and present our gifts to Him, then we're on that final step to eternal life. And when you find Christ, all this earthly wealth, it's nothing. Paul puts it, I count all this as rubbish. Now, if you look at the gifts just a little quickly here, frankincense was significant because it was used to offer in God to God in the temple worship. And so being offered to this divine baby Christ, it confessed his divinity. Gold was always given to a king. And so the star announced the approaching birth of the King of the Jews, so they naturally brought gold. And you know myrrh was used in preparing bodies for the grave. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds worth, when he took the body of Jesus off the cross and buried him. And so after they gave their gifts, they returned home. And God went to them again in their own medium, in a dream. They interpreted dreams. And so God comes to them in a dream and says, don't go back to Herod. So whenever we present ourselves to Jesus, the first thing we do is worship Him. That's why the Lord's Prayer says, Our Father who's up in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's worship. The next, we give thanks for what He has already done for us. And then we give our supplications. There's always three responses to Jesus. Open hatred and hostility. That's what hatred, that's what Herod had. We see that today. Indifference toward Jesus. That's what the priests and the scribes had. Oh, he was, Scripture says he's going to be born in Bethlehem. But they had indifference. They didn't care. We see that today. And then we see people that seek out Christ and worship Him at all costs. The wise men. And we see that today. And so the lesson for us is, don't be satisfied with just hearing or seeing the sign that God gives you. The wise men could have sat down and just sat there and looked at that star all day long and never went anywhere. We have to get up and go. We have to not be discouraged in searching. And when people discourage you, don't believe them. Rejoice. And when you get to your destination, where you're at the feet of Christ, Go in and worship. All that find Christ, fall down and worship Him. He's our Lord, and we must worship Him. We must give up all if we want to have Jesus Christ. And if we're sincere in surrendering of ourselves, we will not be unwilling or regret parting with what is valuable and dear to us to give it to Him. But our gifts will not be accepted unless we first present ourselves as a living sacrifice to Him. So we must focus all our attention on Christ, even though we are alone. We sing a song, "Though I go, nobody goes with me, I will go." Whatever other people do, I don't care. We must serve the Lord. If they won't go to heaven with us, I will not go to hell with them. Thank you, Lord, for giving me my Savior. May we all find Christ in the manger and fall down and worship Him. In Jesus' name we come to you, Lord. Amen. Right.